Hier, das ist von Dennis.
Good morning and welcome to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. This is the first Sunday in Lent. And we're joined today, as usual, by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, and our musical director, Dave Valerio. So Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Let us call ourselves to worship. Almighty and everlasting God, in whom we live and move and have our being, you have created us for yourself so that our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Grant us purity of heart and strength of purpose so that no selfish passion may hinder us from knowing your will and no weakness from doing it. In your light, may we see life clearly and in your service find perfect freedom. This is the desire of our hearts as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the time we have some announcements. I have sent out letters this past week to some folks in the church who have expressed an interest in joining our church membership. If you would like to become a member, please call or email the church office for information. I'm hoping to meet with potential new members and some of the deacons this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. and it will be the same credentials that are being used for the worship this morning. So if you'd like to come, feel free to drop in. Kathy Trowbridge is looking for help to turn out our St. Patrick's Day dinner and make that a takeout family feast corned beef dinner. If you are ready, willing, and able to help, even if it's just for a few hours, please call the church office. I believe she's included some of that information in the weekly worship mailing, as well as the triad. And if she doesn't hear pretty soon, the event is going to have to be canceled. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to make? Feel free to unmute yourself and speak up. Not seeing anyone, then, Mr. Dave, would you introduce your music for us this morning?
Yes, good morning. The opening hymn was Jesus, We Want to Meet, if anyone didn't recognize that or doesn't know that. And I think that's a good opening hymn for our church service here today. And our middle hymn that we're going to sing is Morning Has Broken. We're having trouble putting the lyrics up today for some reason. I don't know if they're in the wrong format or something, but so they're not in the chat section, but they are in the email. It might be a familiar hymn anyways. It's Morning Has Broken. It's number 145 if you do have a hymnal at home. And you can sing along or hum along if you don't know the words, okay?
This morning. We appreciate it. This is the time we share our celebrations. Do any of you have a celebration you would like to lift up?
Yes.
Yes, Madison.
I would like to celebrate that I'm on campus during this COVID and I'm trying to stay safe.
He's trying to what?
Trying to be safe here.
Good. On campus. Good for you. You stay safe while you're on campus. Absolutely. Proud of you. Any other celebrations? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. As usually, we pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer, and we include these people each week as needed. We pray for Loretta, for Chad, for Ed and Janet, for Brigida, for Bert and Jennifer, for Carol, for Marie, for Lee, Edie White, for Jane and her family, for Len and Nancy, who are at home with Len in hospice, for Marge, Marianne, for AJ from Fian, that I heard, I saw that he made his first public announcement now that he's in rehab, and he thanks everybody for all the prayers and all the concerns. And we should also certainly remember all of the people in Texas in the midst of their terrible disaster. Those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living are Jackie, and Carolyn. And of course, we continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID-19 and all of our healthcare workers. We pray for those who suffer from addictions, for the well-being of our nation, and we pray for our communities as we face these difficult days together. So please join me in prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. And of course, we ask you in the moment of silence at home to lift up any other names of people for whom you have concern. Let us pray. Almighty God, Holy Spirit, who watched over Jesus as he did battle for his soul in the wilderness, he was strong enough to resist all the temptations that were thrown at his feet. But we realize that we are lesser creatures, and too often we give in to our own wants and desires. Do we not face a wilderness and temptations every day that we live? The savagery, the tawdriness, the emptiness, the despair and the greed, the lust and the lying. Do not let the chaos destroy us, O God. And may we be strengthened by our very wrestling with difficult feelings and decisions. Above all, help us to strengthen our brothers and sisters as they too fight their way through the wilderness. Be with those who struggle with their health, their finances, family issues, this pandemic, and so many other things. Strengthen those whose names we have mentioned this morning, and hear now those names that we lift into your presence in this time of silence. Gracious God, strengthen us so that we may run and not grow weary, that we might walk and not faint. Keep us near to you as we go through these 40 days of Lent, and help us always to give honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lectionary reading today is from the Hebrew Scriptures. It tells the end of a very familiar story about Noah and the Ark. I'll be reading from Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. Please hear these words. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. You may well ask yourself, what are we doing back here in the book of Genesis? What were those biblical scholars thinking when they suggested readings for each Sunday of the year? Aren't we supposed to be focusing on Jesus and his trek to Jerusalem during Lent? But the scholars are reminding us that Jesus is part of an agreement, something that is called a covenant in the Bible, that God made with Noah and every living creature that is with you, Noah, and for all future generations, which would mean us. I was reading an interesting article about a museum in Ann Arbor, Michigan, that has as its unofficial name, the Museum of Failed Products. This museum looks like a standard supermarket inside. However, all the items on the shelves are products that were taken off the market because no one bought them. Don't you wonder why? Wouldn't you want to buy Clairol's Touch of Yogurt shampoo? Ugh. Or Pepsi's AM breakfast cola that was supposed to compete with coffee as a morning pick-me-up? Actually, I have to confess, until quite recently, I used to have a Diet Coke every single morning, but I've changed my ways a little bit. And why can't we get all excited about Colgate brand TV dinners? Well, they make toothpaste, for heaven's sakes, not dinners. Or how about Fortune Snookies, the fortune cookies for dogs? I got to admit, there are times I think that Angel actually can read, and I know that there are days that she's smarter than I am. You probably feel the same way about your dog if you have one. The museum also displays such wild ideas as caffeinated beer, microwavable scrambled eggs in a tube, and breath mints that look like little packages of cocaine, really? But think of the inventor who poured his or her time, energy, and intellect into creating a product, no matter how unusual, only to have it fail. How disheartening to have your creation end up in the Museum of Failed Products. It got me to thinking, I wonder if God doesn't sometimes look at us, what the Bible calls the pinnacle of creation, and does God wonder with disappointment how we turned out the way we did? Is humanity one of God's failed products? I assume you know the story of Noah, but maybe not. So here's the Reader's Digest condensed version. In Genesis 6, three chapters before this reading about the new covenant, we are told that humanity had spread across the earth, and God saw that humankind was evil. Genesis 6:6 even says, "And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot them out from the earth, the human beings I have created, people together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." Wow. You and I might never have been born. But God finds a man and his sons possessed by an extraordinary goodness and faith. Noah is the patriarch. At God's direction, Noah built an ark that had enormous proportions, 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. And so, of course, comes the often asked question, and how long is a cubit? The cubit is generally taken as equal to 18 inches, and it was based on the length of someone's arm from their elbow to the tip of their middle finger. In some ancient cultures, it was as long as 21 inches. That would make the ark over 450 feet long. Think of it, the size of a football field. That's a large vessel indeed. No wonder it took Noah 120 years, it says in the Bible, to construct it. It was built miles from the sea, and Noah's neighbors had a really good laugh about that. Noah, of course, had the last laugh. The rains came, the waters rose, and there was destruction over all the earth. Only Noah, his family, and the animals, two of every living species on the earth, were spared. After living on this ark for a full year, the earth finally dried out, and God told Noah it was time for his family to repopulate the earth. God put a rainbow in the sky and said that this would be a sign of the covenant between God and the earth. God promised that never again would the waters become a flood to destroy all of life. This story represents the beginning of the concept of a covenantal relationship between the Creator and God's creation. So we find ourselves to be a covenant people. As descendants of Noah, we share in the benefits of this relationship which God has established with us. We are God's children. So what are some of the implications of this covenantal relationship? What does it mean to us today? First, I suspect that God is disappointed. even in the best of us. I hope that doesn't burst our bubbles. But that's why the covenant had to be renewed over and over again with Abraham, with Moses, with King David, with Ezekiel, with Isaiah, with countless other prophets leading us to John the Baptist, and finally with Jesus, whom we call the Christ. Former Beatle Paul McCartney once coined a word to describe the letdown that fans experience when a new song by an old group fails to make them feel young again. The word is anticipointment. Anticipointment. Anticipointment, he says, is the feeling of disappointment you get when you're expecting, when you're anticipating something really great, but you get something entirely different. In a speech made in 1863, just before our terrible Civil War, Abraham Lincoln saw this same phenomenon, and he said this: "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we too become too self-sufficient and feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." Can we say that this is the truth also in 2021? I don't think anticipation fits God's disappointment with us. This sad truth presents a real dilemma for our Creator. God made us, God fashioned us in his own image, breathed into us the breath of life, gave us the ability to love, to desire, to will. But most significantly, God endowed us with the most precious gift of all, freedom of choice, the freedom to choose which way we go. And unfortunately, sometimes we choose wrongly. Every one of us does that from time to time. You can call it original sin, but there is a basic flaw within our character because we are mere mortals. God chose the only righteous man on earth, and he turned out not to be very good and righteous after all. And Noah's story is our story. What is God to do? It didn't work for God to destroy humanity and start over as God did with Noah. God knew that it would not be long until humanity slipped back into its evil ways once again. But God has another problem, and it can be stated like this: though God is disappointed even in the best of us, he is hopelessly, passionately in love, even with the worst of us. Think about that for a minute. Passionately in love with the worst of us. Jürgen Moltmann was a young man in Hitler's army. He was caught, and as a POW, he was given a Bible by a chaplain. I assume it might have been an American chaplain, but it might not have been. He was so inspired by the forgiveness he received in the name of Jesus Christ that he went on to become one of the most influential Christian theologians of the 20th century, writing books that influenced a generation of pastors. I studied some of Moltmann's work in seminary 100 years ago. He was particularly known for his theology of hope. He wrote this: "But the ultimate reason for our hope is not to be found in what we want, wish for, and wait for. The ultimate reason is that we are wanted and wished for and waited for. God is our last hope, because we are God's first love." That love began in the Old Testament with this little story of Noah, and it runs inexorably to Jesus making the decision on our behalf to set his face toward Jerusalem, where he knows he will be put to death. Here's what God did. God made a covenant with us. He did that first with a rainbow and later with a cross. This past week was Ash Wednesday. Today marks the beginning of the Lenten season. This is the time when we prepare to face the cross and Jesus' arrest, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. None of us are all we should be or might be, but still, somebody loves us. To quote a children's song I learned in Sunday school, "Have faith, hope, and charity. That's the way to live successfully. How do I know? The Bible tells me so." That is the simplicity of the gospel, a father willing to welcome home a disobedient child. So let us take our hope in that truth. Amen.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for being at worship with us today, and feel free to stay as long as you like to chat.